If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Amen. I want to look at the first four verses. We used these back, I think, in February, and we talked about a life-changing experience. But I want to look tonight at this in a little different perspective on how to have individual revival, amen, in the church. And the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As you see in the Word tonight, very familiar passage of Scripture. Everybody knows about Pentecost. But we see when the disciples went in there, and they went into that upper room, and God told them, the Lord Jesus told them to go in there and to wait until they received power from on high. He said, hey, you know, now I want to say this. Now these fellows is already saved. Amen. They had already received the Holy Ghost. If you remember over there, Jesus breathed on them. And he said, receive you the Spirit. So he had already, received the Holy Ghost of God. He had already, if you will, been baptized with the Holy Ghost of God. You say, well, preacher, what did they get here? They got that they needed for service. They got that filling of the Holy Ghost. They got that power from on high. They got that nudge, if you will, that would get them excited about the things of God. I'm saying tonight, you know what I believe? I believe there's a lot of folks been saved, but they never felt the nudge. They've never got hold of God, and God got a hold of them, and the Spirit become real down in your life. I'm talking about the one that'll direct you and help you, the one that'll lead you and guide you in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we ever get that just right. And then chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power. Amen. He said, you've got the Spirit. But he said, you need the power to go with it. He said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you won't be able to go without telling somebody about me. He said, there'll be an unction in your heart and a desire down in your soul to magnify my blessed name. Amen. To lift up the Father. To call on the God of glory. To tell people how good He is. How much He loves you. How much He has done for you. And what He's looking to do for you in the days ahead. Yeah. Amen. Hey, listen, we ain't arrived home yet. But boy, glory be to God, what a day that's going to be. Can you imagine that homecoming? But we can see the disciples here as they're in that upper room. And they've gone to receive that power. That power from on high. That power that comes from God. But how do they get that power? Where do we get that power? How do we receive the power for service? How do me and you get the power that we need for service? And out of the Holy Ghost of God. Now let me just explain to you just a little bit about how the Bible says that it worked. Now the Holy Bible says that the Holy Ghost of God through the preaching of the Word, praise God, will come upon you through the preaching of the Word, and it'll begin to deal with your heart. Amen. That's what happens. If the Holy Ghost of God don't take the Word of God and touch your heart with the Word of God, convict your heart of your sin, and then you'll never be saved. Amen. I've heard people say, I wish that God just leave me alone. Well, if He does, you'll die and go to hell, lost in your sins. Amen. But it takes that Holy Ghost of God to come upon you and convict you and show you where you need to be. And then when you acknowledge your sin, fall at an old-fashioned altar, fall in your bedroom, fall down at the workplace, wherever the Holy Ghost of God smites you to your knees, and you fall on your face, and you cry out to God, and you say, Lord, please forgive me a sinner. Save my soul. Come into my heart. And when you do that, praise God. Hey, listen, what do you think moves into your heart? It's the Holy Ghost of God. Praise be to God. What a God we have. That's in part of Himself. Praise God, the spiritual part to be in us. Yeah. See, well, until you're saved, that spot in your life is empty. That spot in your soul is empty. It's void. It has nothing in it, and nothing this world has will fill that void. Amen. You can go drink the booze, you can go take the pills, you can go have the sex, you can do all them things. But until the Holy Ghost of God moves in, you allow Him to move in, have His way in your heart, begin to work in your soul, and then you'll never, that place will always be empty. Amen? Word won't satisfy it. Word won't fill it. It'll just be a big empty void. Amen? Hey, that's what it'll be. But when the Holy Ghost of God, He says He comes in you, He'll come into you, and He dwells with you and dwells in you.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Now, we've got this mindset in our fundamental independent Bible-believing churches that we get saved and we can live any way we want to. Well, you can. You can live any way you want to after you're born again. But the thing is, you want to's going to change.
Yes, sir.
You won't want to do the things that's not pleasing to a holy God. You say, well, preacher, how I know? Because there's something that's inside you, Brother Jesse, that's bigger than that man that's on the outside. Hey, man, there's something that's moved into you. He's took up his abode. That's too big for me to get a hold of. But, boy, I tell you what, I like to think on it. I like to think about the Holy Spirit of God. When God says, hey, I just got bought. Glory be to God. The Son just bought us another. Praise God. And He just moves in and send the Holy Spirit. He said, well, Father, I'll go and I'll camp out with Him. Praise God. Hey, I'm going to seal Him till the day that the Redeemer comes to glory God to claim that prize.
Yeah.
That's too big for me. But He comes into your heart. And He's there with you. He abides with you. He takes up His abode in you. He dwells in us. That means He kicks His shoes off. Sets up housekeeping. Amen? That's just about as plain as I put it. That's what He does. He kicks His shoes off and He sets up house. Now, I ain't got to the message yet. I'll get to it in a minute maybe. He sets up His housekeeping and He begins to clean house. You know, when you move into a new house, there's always some little things you got to tidy up, clean up. You got to make it yours, right? Amen? So you take that house, that old house, and it belongs to somebody else. And that other person that had that house was pretty messy. Amen? I had a lot of messes they left behind. The Holy Spirit of God's got to come in, and He's got to go and clean up all that mess that's been there for no telling how long. For some of us, it wasn't very many years. For some of us, it was a lot of years. And you can get a lot of garbage in a lot of years. You can get a lot of garbage in just a little while. But the Holy Ghost of God, when He moves in, He says, hey, I've got to get rid of, first thing I got to do is get rid of all this garbage. Amen? So He begins to go through it, and He begins to sort out the good and the bad. And He does it on the authority of God and His Word. Amen? He'll begin to take that bad, and He'll say, that's got to go. And the next thing you know, you're saying, you know, for some reason, fellas, I just don't feel like I need to go do that today. Yeah. Said, you know, I wish you wouldn't need. Why don't you? Let's have a Bible study. Let's talk to Jesus a while. Amen? Let's just have us a Holy Ghost round of basketball. Yeah. Amen? Let's talk about the Lord. Shoot a few hoops. Let's not go down there and do that we used to. I don't think God be pleased with that. Amen? What do you just say? I'm saying He takes that old junk out. But now, how does that happen? It's because that Holy Spirit of God that's moved into you. So see, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost of God, the Lord done breathed on them and told them, receive the Spirit. I mean, it was done there to be had. But He said, told them here, He said, you wait till you be empowered. Till you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen? So here on Pentecost, we see these folks. And now we know it was the Pentecost was a feast 50 days after Passover. And the Lord had been gone for 10 days. Right? Right? Lord had been gone for 10 days. Those folks, the disciples and them went up to the upper room and they got there and they was all in there together. Now, there was a fellow told me the other day, and he said there wasn't nobody in the upper room but the disciples. Said everybody else went away. I don't know where he's reading his Bible from, but he said those women were there. Those ones that ministered to Jesus, Mary and Martha and the mother of Jesus. and his brother, and they were there. Amen. Now, wait a minute. That's more than just the disciples. But if you go on down and read it, the Bible says it's a number about 120. Amen. They was in that upper room. So there's 120 folks up there in that upper room. Now, I want to give you about four things right quickly that the Lord's laid on her heart to show you how to have a Holy Ghost-filled revival. Number one, you got to have a little bit of meditation. You got to have just a little bit of meditation. Now, that's thinking on the things of God. Now, that's what we've been encouraging you to do. That's what we encourage you to do Sunday night, to spend a little bit more time with the Word of God, a little bit more time. And I've told the folks that's called me, that several's called me, and I've told them, I said, it's not just about reading your Bible, but it's about meditating and letting it speak to you. It's about letting the sweet Spirit of God and the Word of God infiltrate you, penetrate you, and become part of who you are. Amen? So I believe these folks is there, and I can just see in my mind's eye. Now, let me just paint you a picture. These folks are in the upper room, and they're there. They shut themselves in. Now the world all around them is in turmoil. Christians are being persecuted. Amen. This thing's about to get out of hand. They're up there in the upper room, and maybe for a day or a couple of days, they're kind of quiet, and everybody's a thinking on what's happened to the Lord. Now you got to remember, we've got the Word of God, and boy, it's precious to us. But I got to thinking the other day, I got to think about how the Holy Spirit of God, when I went to Israel several years ago, before I went, Brother Frank, I read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that when I got over there and when we began to go to these places where Jesus walked, that it would be real. And it was. It was sublime. I mean, it's wonderful. Most magnificent thing, because I could just close my eyes and see the Bible come to life. And when I opened them, praise God, there I was. So you got to imagine these disciples, these people had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years during his earthly ministry. These fellows had been right there with him. They'd watched him. He had showed them. He had taught them. He had instructed them day by day by day. So I can see in my mind's eye there, these folks as they're gathered up there in the upper room, and they begin to meditate upon the things that Jesus had taught them. They begin to look deep into the things that the Lord had said. Amen. Can you imagine that? And just take a few days just to think on what Jesus said. I mean, he was face to face now. We've got the Word of God. We've got all that. We've got part of what Jesus said. Not all of it. John said if he wrote it all down, he said if the sky was a parchment, praise God, there wouldn't be enough to hold it. Amen. But he said, but we got it. We got what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to have. And we see all the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ and how magnificent he is. Now, could you just imagine how when they got up there and began to meditate upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they began to meditate upon the Word, and they began to look at it, and they began to see how marvelously God had fulfilled through his Son the precious Word of God. Don't you know that was exciting? Don't you know it was an exciting time? As they begin to meditate upon it, they begin to see, they begin to think on what they had seen. They begin to think, Sister Andrew, on the man Jesus Christ. They begin to think on how perfect he was. And you know, so maybe after a while of silence, somebody looked over at somebody else and said, you know, I've been a thinking. And the room's totally quiet. Everybody's been a thinking. Can you just imagine it? And everybody looks at them and says, yeah. Said, yeah, I've been a-thinking. Do you know when he was with us, they knew who he was. Said, you know when he was with us, there was something so special about him. Yeah. And these others sitting there like, do you think? Said, yeah, there was something so special about him. He was so unique. You know, I was thinking about, he never messed up. He never had a flaw. He was never caught for lack of words. Whether it was a word of discouragement or a word of redirection, amen, a word of teaching, a word of thought, a word that come from, it was never for a lack of words. And they begin to meditate and they begin to think upon the Lord Jesus Christ and how real he was and how prevalent he was. And they begin to think on those angels that said that he's gone away, but said this same Jesus will come again in the same way. He said, you know what? This same Jesus. And they began to meditate. And they began to think on those things. And they began to think on who he was, what he did, and the power that he had in their lives. How it was focused upon them. How he gave them the light that they needed to understand. Amen? Now the Holy Spirit of God was going to help them with that. The Holy Spirit of God, he said, hey, there's just so much that I can't tell you. So I don't have enough time to tell you all that I'd like to tell you. But he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll bring to your remembrance that I've said. He'll tell you what needs to be said. He'll plant that word in your heart. Now you got to think, they had 10 days of waiting. 10 days waiting there for that movement of God. Now, how did they know what they was waiting on? How did they know what it would be like when he came? I want to say, if you've got God in you and the Holy Spirit of God shows up, you know when he's there. There's not any doubt. Hey, man, it don't take rocket science to tell when God's in, when the Holy Ghost of God's in something.
Amen.
Hey, man, it don't take rocket science, praise God, if you're a child of God, to know that the Spirit of God done moved on the scene. And praise God, you can just praise the Lord and have liberty. Amen. So they're there for these 10 days. They're praying, they're seeking God's face, and they're looking at the Word of God, and the Word of God's being manifest in their heart. Now, this reminds me over in Joshua. Let me show you something real quick. Over in Joshua chapter 1. You remember when Joshua was going into the land? And he began to make preparations. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. What he said, he's talking about the law, the book of the law, the word of God. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You want to prosper? God says if you'll meditate on the word of God and put it into action, he said you'll prosper. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. He said, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. So I can just imagine, they're meditating on the Word of God, and Joshua comes to their mind, and that brother says, no, said, you don't understand. I'm talking about where old Joshua, over there in Joshua chapter 1, and Joshua, the book of Joshua, they didn't have chapters and divisions. He said, over there in Joshua, where Joshua said, hey, listen, he said, just about putting your faith in the Lord, just about believing the Word, and praise God. Hey, listen, folks, the Word of the Lord was with us. We've seen Him, we've touched Him, we've handled Him, we know who He is. Amen. I'm talking about getting stirred up down in their soul. They begin to get be in one mind. They begin to realize that they was something to this Jesus. They begin to think on, to meditate on the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they begin to make some preparation. In verse 2 it said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So he's talking about the meditation and then the preparation. The Lord's always going to. The Lord's always in the appointment of preparing us for what's next. He's always preparing us for what we're going to face, for what we're going to do, for what we're going to need to do in the future. So He was preparing them, and He said there was a sound. He said suddenly, that means there's the urgency of the time. See, the Lord knew what was going to take place. He knew the persecution that was coming on Israel. He knew the persecution of the people. He knew what was coming. And he said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now that sound we can relate with the Word of God. That sound that comes down, it's that hearing of what God's saying, amen. It's that hearing and knowing that it's the Word of God that's speaking. Even though we may not see it visually, but we know it because we know the Word of God. And it begins to speak to our heart, and we begin to receive it to ourselves. We begin to realize it. We begin to hear that old man of God. We begin to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to hear the teachings and the instructions from His precious Word of truth. Amen? So he was meditating on it, and then they begin to be prepared. That time of preparation, that time of hearing. And now notice, it came from heaven. That sound that came from heaven. It didn't come from Brother Joe's farm over in the corner. Amen. It didn't come from downtown Asheville. It didn't come from somewhere else over on in Hollywood through that one-eyed monster. But he said there was a sound, and said that sound came from heaven. Amen. You can tell a sound when it comes from heaven. Yeah. I hope you can. If you can't tell a sound when it comes from heaven, you may miss the rapture. Yeah. Amen. You may be left out if you can't hear a sound when it comes from heaven. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said that sound, that time of preparation, that word of God that was ministered, he said it was as of a rushing and a mighty wind. That's that word. It's powerful. It's strong. Amen. It's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. So you can imagine as they're sitting up there in that room and they're meditating on these things and God's preparing them. He's showing them all the mighty things that He's done. He's showing them how magnificent He is. He's showing them the precious Lamb of God afresh and anew for the first time. Amen. They've seen Him like they'd never seen Him before. I wonder how long it's been since we had that freshness with the Lord. And we see Him, all of a sudden you see Him. It's almost, Brother X, like you've never seen Him in like this before. And it's all fresh and it's new and it's just coming at you. And you're like, why have I seen this before, Lord? How fresh this is, how refreshing to get this. That's the Lord preparing you. He's getting you, glory to God, He's getting you ready for that next stretch of the journey. Amen. He's preparing you for what's coming next. It may be good and it may be bad, or we may think it'd be bad, but all things work for the good of them that love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. When we bear, as old Paul said, these light afflictions, praise God, we just keep our head up and keep praising Jesus, and we'll come out on the other side of them, and He'll still be on our side. And when it gets too rough, we can't walk, praise God, He'll carry us and bring us through. Amen. So there's that meditation, and there's that preparation, and then there's that participation. Notice verse 3. He said, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Amen. That's that receiving of the Word of God. See, you can't, the Word of God won't, it can't help you if you won't receive it. You say, well, preacher, how do you know? Because you remember those that sat under Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a preaching the Word of God, and they said, preach on, preacher, we're with you. Hear what you're preaching, preacher. Boy, you're sounding good, preacher. And then before they got out of that verse, they said, but we'll not do it. Amen? But he said, if you hear that Word of God, and praise God, and you cherish it, you hold it dear, amen, when it begins to hit you where you live, or if I had the old primers, you say, when it begins to plow in your tater row, glory be to God, just jump up to your feet, hit an old-fashioned altar, and say, God, help me, I just keep where I need to be for you, as I get everything behind me, so I can be pleasing to my Lord. Amen. That's that preparation. That's that preparing. Amen. That's that participation. That's receiving the Word of God within ourselves. He said it was as of a fire. Now that fire is what I was talking about when that Holy Spirit of God begins to move in you. He begins to purge out, and fire speaks of that purifying, that cleansing that goes on inside us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. He purifies us. He cleanses from the inside out. He'll get rid of that old junk that we don't need. And He'll put that freshness and that newness inside us. That'll encourage us and get us excited again. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we need to be excited again about the Lord.
Yes,
amen. We ought to be a jubilant about what He's doing.
Yeah.
We ought to be magnifying His name for the way He moves through this little place and the way He helps us like He does. He don't have to, but He does.
Amen.
Because He loves us that much. And praise God, when you get to praising Him, when you get to thanking Him for doing that, boy, it just gets so much the better. Why? Because you're participating in what He's got for you. In other words, you're receiving that He's a passing out. Amen. You can't get blessed. You can't get help. You can't get encouragement. Amen. You'll say, you'll go out the door and you'll say, well, I didn't get nothing out of that. Amen. Because you didn't participate. You didn't take nothing in. Amen. You don't take nothing in, you're not going to get nothing out of it. Amen. That'd be like old Brother Bill going down here to the steakhouse, pulling up there in a booth and ordering a big old steak, bringing a big old 16-ounce sirloin. setting it down there in front of him with all the fixings. He sits there about an hour and a half and slobber running out of his face, looking at that big old steak. Amen, till it doesn't get ice cold. Then he gets up, walks out, says, "Come on, Miss Peggy," goes out in the parking lot, gets out in the parking lot and said, "Well, I didn't get nothing out of that."
That's good.
Amen.
That's good preaching.
Amen. Yeah, if you don't partake of it, you're not going to get nothing out. When you get in there and you dig and you pray and you meditate and you look for God and you desire God and you say, "Lord, just give me that. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Lord, give me your word that'll penetrate my old hard heart and make me into that that you'd have me to be." Then you're participating. You're receiving that he's got. Amen. Because you get to desiring it that bad. Amen. You can't help but to receive what God's a passion out. Glory to God. It's just there. I mean, and all that defilement starts leaving, all the good starts coming in. And praise the Lord, next thing you know, you say, "Well, you know, I didn't really need that TV. I told my wife the other day, I said, we ought to just call Charter and have it cut off. I don't use it, don't need it. Amen. It's nothing but a bunch of wickedness. All I ever watch on is the news and the weather. Amen. I don't think fit to watch. And a lot of the news you can't watch. Amen. Yeah. Get rid of it. Put it out of your life. Amen. It's just going to be a hindrance. Amen. He said, "Preacher, you're too old-fashioned. You just want to get rid of everything that gives us entertainment and lets us have fun." No. I don't see no fun in it. Amen. It's just an old one-eyed monster. It's directing your mind and your thoughts and keeping you from thinking about God. But what if you spent that 3 hours a night you spend watching Wheel of Fortune, all that other goofy stuff, and you concentrated on meditating, talking to God, reading your Bible maybe 15, 20 minutes a day, you would decide there's something better than that old television. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you done quit preaching and went to meddling." Well, I'll meddle here just a little while if I want to. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, if you ever get the meditating on God, you ever get participating and receiving the word into yourself, you ever begin to think about what he's trying to say to you. I told you, some folks the other day that was calling me about this 30 days of dedicating to the Lord before getting ready for revival. If you'll just dedicate yourself to him and allow him to move in, not just read your Bible, but meditate on what he's trying to say to you. Amen. Let it speak to your heart. Hey, I know some folks say, "Preacher, I read my Bible through 3 times a year." So what? What do you get out of it? Amen. Amen. Hey, my brother's a speed reader. He could probably read that thing 15 times a year. But it's what you get out of it. You got to take time to meditate on it. You got time to pray. And when you come to a spot where it's a touch in your life, maybe you need to get down on your knees and say, "Lord, you know, according to what you're saying here, you know, this old fella here is an example. And you know, I'm kind of falling in the same place that he is. Hey, Lord, before I get in that same mess, how about forgiving me, helping me, Lord? Oh, please, Lord, don't let me get in that same predicament that fella is." Amen. It make all the different work. Then you'll be participating in the Word of God. You never knew this thing was a play along, did you? Amen. You never thought in your wildest dreams that the Word of God was a play along series. Amen. It is. It's a play along series. Praise God. God give us the road map, and we're supposed to get on the path and follow the path. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about participation. I'm talking about receiving that God's given you, that empowers us. So you got the meditation and the preparation and the participation, but then you got the elevation. Amen. Look at verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Amen. They got in there and they got hooked up. And they said, "We're not going to go, Lord, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up till you just fill us plumb full. Hey, we want to be full. We want to be filled." And you say, "Well, preacher, I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd like to have the power of God on me. I'd like to have the power to do right." Well, why don't you? Hey, man, why? It's only because you haven't asked for it. Praise God if you ask for it. I say, "Lord, here I am. I'm just an old sinner. I've been saved by grace. And Lord, I need the filling of the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost to fill me and penetrate me and move me and help me and to redirect me and to show me the right way and help me get away from the wrong way, that you guide my path and lead me in a path of righteousness."
Amen.
You say, "Well, God do that? He's a promise. Promise he would." He said, be not filled with wine. Where's the next says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. He said to be filled. That means to literally to be being filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? By meditating. By participating. By preparing. And then it's that. Then it leads to elevation. It gets us up above that old wicked stuff that the world has. He said, the Lord in the book of Romans said not to be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. You know why there's so much Alzheimer's? You know why there's so much Alzheimer's? Because we got away from God and gotten this old worldly mess, and we don't meditate on Him enough. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. No, they're saying now it's smog. They said, not in set traffic with your window down. Amen. That's a contributing factor. The Alzheimer's. I believe what's happening, we don't use our mind. And it's a known fact. If you got Alzheimer's, they said if you'll do puzzles and things, you work your mind, that it helps you not to be taken into it sufficed. Well, I wonder if we begin to meditate on God now. We begin to think upon Him now. We begin to look for Him now. We begin to try to figure out what He wants for us now. I wonder how that would help us in the future. There was a big basketball coach, they said this morning, I forget where she's at, 59 years old, said she's got Alzheimer's. Amen? Yeah. She said she's got it. Amen? But said she was working puzzles, she was keeping her mind active, she wasn't quitting, she's going to keep going. I hope she's saved. I hope she loves the Lord. Amen? Somebody needs to write her a letter, send her a text, something, and tell her, say, hey, meditate on the Word of God. It'll stimulate your mind. Amen. It'll give you that right attitude. Amen. If the Lord does take you out of here, you'll be ready to go. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that elevation, that rising up. He said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I'm talking about those gifts that God gives us, that power that He gives us. It's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. But He said, there's a power that we have that comes from the throne of grace. And that this power that I'm talking about now, to have this Holy Ghost revival, is a power that is a gift from God. It's a gift of His grace that He's given us. It's the gifts of the grace. It's the gifts of the Spirit that the Lord gives us. Amen? So that we can be what He wants us to be. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says this. He said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord God. Amen? The Lord of hosts. That's how we receive power. He said, He told them to go over there, and He said, and you stay there till you receive power. And He said, ye shall receive power. Amen? Why don't we have power? Why don't we have the power of God that we used to have? Maybe we've never had the power of God on us. Why is that? Why is it? Because we've never truly trusted in the Spirit of God. We've never let it have its right away in our hearts. The Spirit of God is important. We have to listen to it. We have to think about what He's telling us. Amen. The Word of God ministers to us through the Spirit of a holy God. And when we begin to meditate on it, and we begin to prepare, and we begin to participate, and then we're elevated, and we begin to realize that there's something to being a child of God other than just going to church on Sunday. Amen. There's a rising up. A rising up, an empowerment, a growth, if you will. A spiritual growth that we have. I'm seeing it here. I'm seeing it here. We may be few, but I tell you, there's more of the Spirit of God in this place than anywhere I know of. I mean, hey, listen, you'd come here all the time. I've been in places, it's cold, dry. Amen? I work with some people. I work with people go to churches, and they're cold and dry. I mean, they're dead. Their people get up, sing, and they get, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh. I mean, it's just dead. They're just singing. They stuff coming out of their mouth, but they're not even thinking about what they're singing. Amen? The men of God are getting up there and they're preaching, and there's just no power in it. Why? Because the Word of God, the Spirit of God ain't in it. The Spirit of God is not directing. The Spirit of God's not to changing lives. They're saying, well, you know, you're a pretty good person. If you just keep on trying to be a pretty good person, you'll be okay. No, you won't. You'll be a rotten person. Amen? Be a rotten person. What you need is the Holy Ghost of God. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And He won't let you down because the Holy Ghost of God, the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God will direct you in the way you need to go. He'll give you that. But we have to take time to get the connection. I'm afraid we don't take time to get the connection, to hook up. Amen? We're too busy living our lives. Let me ask you, what kind of life are we living? Just a rat race. Amen? Well, for a simpler time. I can remember when I was a kid, Grandma and Grandpa, amen, Grandpa pastored church, he was gone. But on Saturday evening, now Grandma washed her clothes out with the old wringer washer. Amen, hung them on the line to dry them. Raised 12 kids. Amen. But some Saturday evening, she'd go to cooking. She'd get things made. We'd eat. We'd go down to Granny's. We'd all meet. We'd have some fellowship every Saturday, just about every Saturday. And then she'd fix up the meal for Sunday. She'd set it back. She'd have it ready to go. Amen. And she didn't have no microwave oven. Amen. Didn't have an electric ring. Had no wood cook stove. I mean, how in the world did they get all that done? You know what they have? Because they was trusting the Lord. It wasn't all about me and what I can do. But it's about the Lord providing. The Lord doing that needs to be done in me. And then He said, all these other things, He said, I'll take care of. We're too busy, youngins. We're too busy. Amen? I told my wife a few years ago, I had cattle and critters I was chasing every which way. I said, they've got to go. I said, I'm too busy. Amen? I don't have time to study and things like I'd like to do. So we loaded them on a big old stock trailer and we hauled them to Greenville, Tennessee. Run them through the sale. Got rid of them. Amen? Why? Because they was keeping me from a time that I need to be spending with the Lord. Amen? I wonder how many of us has got things that's keeping us. You say, well, preacher, I enjoyed it too. I enjoyed it too, and I kept a couple critters to hear a while back. But I wonder how many of us are just so busy. We're so busy that we don't have time for the Lord. We don't have time for the Spirit of God to work on us. We don't have time to meditate. We don't have, and if we don't have no time for meditating on the Lord, thinking upon the Lord, then we surely don't have no time of preparing. If we don't have no time for preparing, then we surely ain't going to be able to participate. So how are we going to have the elevation? How are we ever going to be lifting up? How are we ever going to have the growth that we need? You know, we've got a brother here that made some sacrifices. I don't think he'll mind bragging. Brother Robert made a sacrifice. He was going and singing, I guess, every weekend. When I first come here, he was singing every weekend. Singing with a group. I mean, they was going places, doing things. Amen, moving up. But the Holy Ghost of God began to deal, and Brother Robert decided he wanted more God. Amen. That the singing was all right, but he wanted more of what God had for him. So he stepped to, he came to me one day, and he said, preacher, said, I'm in a dilemma. I said, brother, what it is? He won't mind me telling this on him. He said, well, I don't know whether to go. They said, they want to go full-time, want to go singing. He said, I feel like I need to spend more time at the church. So I don't need to be going all over the place. And he just kept talking and talking. He knew exactly what he needed to do. And he talked through it a while. And I said, well, brother, you know what you need to do. So he stepped out from the singing. He came here. He got rooted into church. He's helping with the teaching. He's singing praises for God. God's blessing him all up and down the aisle. Praise God. Why? Because he made a little bit of sacrifice. Amen. Now, I'm not bragging on Robert. I'm bragging on the God that he serves. But, you know, sometimes if we just make a decision, just a little decision, just to give up just a little bit for a little more time with Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. Amen? It makes all the difference in the world. But what about us tonight? This 30 days of decision. How to have a revival? Just meditate upon the Lord a little bit. Spend some time with Jesus. Prepare, participate, and elevate. Amen.